With that said, I do have one more video for you to watch, and you can roll that one, Grace.
You can do it!
Yeah, that was not the smartest thing I've ever done. No, you don't have to clap that, no. So our family just got back last night from vacation, from fishing all week up in Ontario, Canada, which was an absolute blast. Holly's family all went, and it was a great time. One of the dumb things that I did there was jump off this 40-foot cliff. Why did I do this, you might wonder? That's a great question. I jumped in part because I had jumped off a 40-foot cliff in high school when I was about my son Tyler's age, and we went with the youth group to a trip up to Upper Michigan in a camp, and there was a cliff nearby where it was known that you could jump off it, like other people did that too. And so when we went there, people were kind of gathered around the top spot, and then, you know, whoever had worked up the courage would jump off. And so in high school, huge rush, okay, shot of adrenaline, and I popped up. I think I might have done it twice. I mean, I was just like, let's do it. In Canada, when we did that, Tyler and Josh, they had no hesitation, right over the ledge, right, 40-foot drop, popped up, yeah, let's do it again. And, you know, the voices of wisdom, AKA moms, were like, no, that probably was one too many already. So it's amazing to me how fearless and how courageous you can be when you're young. It's amazing to me how you can do something like that and not be sore for days and days later when you're young. It's amazing to me. There's something about being in your teens or your early 20s where you just can do so much. It seems like you have so much potential. You're fearless because most of the time you think that you're invincible. It's a unique time in your life. And as someone who's not as young as I used to be, I see now that it's a time where you need special wisdom. So this morning I have a message for our young men and women, our teens, our 20-somethings, and for the rest of us, I'm sure if you're part of this church, you know people in this church who are in their teens and 20s. You probably have family members who are in that age range. If you know and love young people, people in their teens and 20s, this message is for you as well. What would God want you to do as a young man or as a young woman? What does it look like to follow Jesus when you're young? That's what I want to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Proverbs chapter 3. We're only going to focus on verses 5 and 6. But I still want you to go there in your Bible or your Bible app. Find it. If you don't know where Proverbs is, look it up in the table of contents. That's okay. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of the Bibles that we provide for you here home with you. Proverbs 3:5-6. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you have clearly said in your word that if we desire wisdom, we should ask you, and you will give us wisdom. So I'm asking you, Lord, now, pour out your wisdom into our lives. And especially, Lord, for the young people among us, the young men and young women who may at times be fearless and courageous, maybe at other times they're not. But Lord, I ask that you would pour out your wisdom into their lives so that they would grow to look and think and act more like your son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. So about 14% of the Bible is a genre of writing called wisdom literature. And I actually figured that out this past week because it was a very long car ride. So I did the calculation. 14%. This includes the book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. And much of these writings were written during the time of King David and his son King Solomon, around 3,000 years ago. So this is truly ancient wisdom. It has been put through the ringer. It has stood the test of time. It has lasted through over the millennia in every culture around the world, because this is God's wisdom. Now, the thing you need to know is especially helpful for you as you read through the Proverbs in this particular literary genre is to remember that Proverbs are not promises. They're not guarantees. They're like general guidelines, like based on the way that God created the world to work and based on how human beings work. If you follow these Proverbs, things tend to go well for you. You tend to find peace and joy and life and avoiding so many of the struggles and falls that there are in this broken world. So that's the context here. Verse 5, let's focus in on that for a bit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, this verse, I believe, is a terrific summary of what a relationship with God is all about. First, a relationship with God is a relationship. That's a duh statement. And yet I meet people who claim to be Christians and don't understand that. They think that Christianity is a series of boxes to be checked, a series of religious or spiritual activities to perform so that then you would be good with God. But that's not what Christianity is about at all. It's based on a personal knowing, of knowing God. Now, where do I get this in verse 5? Well, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In the NIV, in most Bible translations, the word for Lord is translating a personal name. It's the personal name that God revealed to us in the Old Testament. It's the name Yahweh in Hebrew. When Moses spoke with God through the burning bush, and he said, who should I say is sending me to the ancient Israelite people? God said, I am sending you. I am that who I am. My name is Yahweh God. And everywhere in the Old Testament, when it's translated Lord with capital L-O-R-D, that's translating the personal name of God, God's revealed name, the name of Yahweh God. It wasn't just like God in general or like one of the gods. That's not who God is. God is a personal being. So when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's not saying that Christians are to trust in any God or any divine force or any spiritual experience with their heart. Christians are invited to trust in a personal God, in a real and personal relationship. Let me give you an example. If I were to tell you, women who are married, wives, trust in men with all your heart, would that be good advice? No, that would be terrible advice. Blanket statement, all men. I know men who are not trustworthy. I wouldn't. But if I said, trust in your spouse by name, like if someone told me, trust in Holly with your heart, like with everything in you, I would say, I can. I know her. She is trustworthy. I can rely on her. I can lean on her because I know her. And that is the type of relationship that we are called or invited to have in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, as I said, God revealed his name, his personal name is Yahweh. In the New Testament, we get even greater revelation of who God is. And we find out that the Lord, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, exists in a trinity of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, God's personal, powerful presence in the world. And so today, it says in Hebrews 1 that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, if you look at Jesus, you see God. He reveals everything about who God is, his character, his work, his nature, what he's like. And so through the lens of the whole counsel of God, the whole scripture, we could say, translate verse 5 as trust in Jesus with all your heart. As a person, in a personal relationship. Here's the bottom line. Christianity, young people, is not a series of boxes that you check. It's not like a race to see how many times you can attend church, how many worship songs you can sing, how much you can give of your time or your money. It's not about that. It's about you having a relationship with Jesus. That's what Christianity is all about. If you're confused about that, you're truly lost in the deepest sense of that word. But when you do understand that, and you pursue a relationship with Jesus, and you want to get to know him more, and you understand that he knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you, that's the type of relationship that will change your life. It will bring wisdom into your life, and it will set you on the right path. Do you know Jesus? Young men, do you know Jesus? Young women, do you trust Jesus with all your heart? Do you talk with him? Is he the first one you go to when you have a problem? Being a Christian means having a real and personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So, trust in Jesus with all your heart. It's a pretty clear statement. But lean not on your own understanding. And this is what trips us up. For those of us who are slightly beyond our teens and 20s, can I get an amen? Lean not on your own understanding. Don't support yourself. Don't be dependent on your own knowledge or your own understanding. This isn't being anti-intellectual. Christianity requires your whole mind. God says, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. At no point would I expect you to believe something without thinking it through. That would be counterintuitive to the wisdom of God. But God says, don't lean on your understanding. Now, I think to help explain this, I was thinking of the concept of scale, and I think that this might help you guys, you younger whippersnappers. Human beings were made to operate, to live, to work, to enjoy life, to go to school, to have relationships, to face the challenges that we face only at a human scale. What do I mean? Well, if we were the size or the scale of an ant, we would be able to face much smaller forces in life. I've heard that ants are fairly strong for their size, but it doesn't take much to push them off the path. We're human. We're much bigger than an ant, so we can handle more, but we are not that big. We have a human scale. And so often, the problems in our life, the stress, the anxiety, the worry comes when we start operating outside of our scale. When we start thinking about or worrying about problems or situations that are more like God's scale. This happens all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart becomes trust in me with all my heart. How does that work for you? You were never meant to control your health. You were never meant to keep all of your friends and family happy all the time. You weren't created to be able to control every aspect of your future, your destiny. Young people, you need to know this. You are not God. So often, when you don't trust in the Lord for the things outside your scale, it only ever leads to fear and anxiety and worry. So in your teens and your 20s, work hard at the things that you can impact at your scale. You can control what you eat and the exercise that you get in order to be healthy, but you don't control your health. Do you understand? You can speak words of encouragement. You can set up fun things for your friends and family to do. You can create unique experiences for them, but you can't ensure their happiness 100% of the time. That's God's scale, not yours. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. This will guard your heart against the temptation to worry about the things you were never meant to worry about. So how do you follow Jesus when you're young? Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Let's look back at verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It doesn't say only on Sundays, does it? It doesn't say only at home, does it? It doesn't say only when you're around other Christians. Submit your ways to God. It says in all your ways. This means that we need to submit to God, to acknowledge him every day, in everything that we do, in everything that we think or say. And this is really a calling to live a life of integrity. Now, young people, integrity is kind of a boring word, but this is what it means. Having integrity means that you're the same person at home as you are at school and at church. It means that you say what you mean and you mean what you say. You're the same character-wise wherever you go. That's the calling, to submit our ways to God. In all of our ways, submit to him, acknowledge him. For the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, this means acting like a Christian wherever you go. It's the main thing about who you are. Imagine, for example, remember, we're in the context of a personal relationship with God. Imagine in the context of a friendship that you might have, or my marriage with Holly again. What if I only acted married when I was at home? How would that impact our relationship? Terribly, wouldn't it? If you only pretend like you have a relationship with someone in certain contexts, you don't really have a relationship with that person. You're using them at best. That's the call here. Have a relationship with God. Follow Jesus wherever you go. In my experience, people respect that. It's an authenticity that you bring wherever you go, so long as you're not a jerk about it. People accept it, receive that. Now, the wisdom here is this. If you live like this, trusting in Jesus, that's all about faith, and submitting all your ways to God, that's about integrity. If you live a life of faith and integrity, what's the path here? It says the result is that God will make your path straight. Even when you're young, even when you're still in school, if you live a life of faith and a life of integrity, then God will make your path straight. What does that mean? Well, the path is your way of life. It encompasses everything about you. What does it mean that God will make our paths straight? Straight implies a goodness, a rightness. Notice it doesn't say that God will make your path easy. I've read through the Bible and I can't find that promise of God. In fact, we're actually promised that in this world we will have trouble. So expect that things will be hard. Young men and women, expect that your life is going to be a struggle. But when you have a relationship with God and you submit your ways to Him, He'll make your way straight. He'll make it good. He'll make it right, even in the struggle. And I have experienced that myself. Now, second, in our submitting our ways to God, we must submit our external ways, our words and our deeds to God, but we also must submit our internal ways to God. And this includes submitting our thoughts to God, our feelings to God, even our sense of what's right or wrong to God. Something isn't right or wrong just because it feels right or wrong. We need to know, all of us need to know, that it's very popular to believe that whatever someone thinks is right is fine. They can believe that it's right, so long as it doesn't hurt other people. But that's not what God has revealed to us through His Word. That's not how the world works. Morality isn't up for grabs based on however you feel. God made this world to work a certain way, and some things are right, and some things are wrong. And it's the Word of God that decides what is right and what is wrong. We need to measure our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our deeds by God's Word, not just by how we feel about it. I'm sure that you can think of a time where your thoughts weren't right. So that means that not every thought that you think is right. It's not always true. Some of the ideas that cause us the most harm are false ideas. And not every feeling that we feel is true or is helpful. And so we must, in following Christ, we must learn to submit our thoughts and our feelings to God as well. Line it up with the Word of God, and if it is true, if it's helpful, great. If it's not true, if it's not helpful, get rid of it. It's not going to make your path straight. Live a life of faith. Live a life of integrity. In all your ways, young people, submit to God, and He will make your path straight. But you need to remember one more thing. Proverbs are not promises. They're not a guarantee. So what do you do, young man? What do you do, young woman, when you fail to trust the Lord with all your heart? What do you do when you fail to live a life of integrity? Here's the good news. You can trust in the One who perfectly trusted and submitted to His Father in heaven. You can trust in the One whose path wasn't made straight, but whose path included terrible suffering and shame and pain of His death on the cross. Trust in Jesus, even when you fail to trust in Jesus. Trust again. Don't lean on your own understanding of your guilt or your shame. Don't lean on your understanding of how you think God might respond to your failure, to your sin. You can trust in the promise of God that if you confess your sin, He is faithful, He is just, and He will forgive you because Jesus paid the price for you on the cross. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Follow Him at home. Follow Him at work. Follow Him at school. Follow Him with your friends. Follow Him in your dating. follow him in your whole life, he will make your path straight. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, God, I believe, will use your fearlessness, young people, your courage, your willingness to jump off the cliff and do big things for his glory. If you trust in the Lord as a teenager, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart in your 20s, you have no idea what God might do in and through your life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We're so grateful that you care for us, even as young children. And then you don't abandon us in our teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. When we make stupid decisions and we struggle with sin and we try to follow you and then we fail, or we say one day we trust you with all of our hearts and the next day we forget all about you. Lord, we can't live a life of perfect faith and perfect integrity without you. We just are unable to do that. So God, I ask for your Spirit to be poured out on our lives, and especially for our young people. Lord, that you would help them, give them faith, help them follow. And I pray, Lord, that you would honor this wisdom and make their path straight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.